did learn to read thanks to a stack of National Geographic magazines from the 1950s and a yellowed edition of the collected poems of Robert Frost. I never went to school, never rode a bicycle, never knew electricity or running water. That the only people I spoke to during those 12 years were my mother and father. That I didn't know we were captives until we were not. I could tell you that my mother passed away 2 years ago, and while the news media covered her death, you probably missed it because she died during a news cycle heavy with more important stories. I can tell you what the papers did not. She never got over the years of captivity. She wasn't a pretty, articulate, outspoken champion of the cause. There were no book deals for my timid, self-effacing wreck of a mother. No cover of Time. My mother shrank from attention the way arrowroot leaves wither after a frost. But I won't tell you my mother's name, because this isn't her story. It's mine. 1. Wait here, I tell my 3-year-old. I lean through the truck's open window to fish between her booster seat and the passenger door for the plastic sippy cup of lukewarm orange juice she threw in a fit of frustration. Mommy will be right back. Mary reaches for the cup like Pavlov's puppy. Her bottom lip pokes out and tears overflow. I get it. She's tired. So am I. Mary grunts as I start to walk away. She arches her back and pushes against the seatbelt as if it's a straitjacket. Stay put. I'll be right back. I narrow my eyes and shake my finger so she knows I mean business, and go around to the back of the truck. I wave at the kids stacking boxes on the loading dock by the delivery entrance to Markham's. Jason, I think, is his name. Then lower the tailgate to grab the first 2 boxes of my own.
Hi, Mrs. Pelletier!
Jason returns my wave with twice the enthusiasm I gave him. I lift my hand again, so we're even. I've given up telling him to call me Helena. Bang, 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 from inside the truck. Mary is whacking her juice cup against the window ledge. I'm guessing it's empty. I bang the flat of my hand against the truck bed in response. Bang, bang, bang. And Mary startles and twists around, her baby fine hair whipping across her face like corn silk. I give her my best, cut it out if you know what's good for you, scowl, then heft the cartons to my shoulder. Stephen and I both have brown hair and eyes, as does our 5-year-old, Iris. So he marveled over this rare golden child we created, until I told him my mother was a blonde. That's all he knows. Markham's is the next-to-last delivery of 4, and the primary sales outlet for my jams and jellies, aside from the orders I pick up online. Tourists who shop at Markham's Grocery like the idea that my products are locally made. I'm told a lot of customers purchase several jars to take home as gifts and souvenirs. I tie gingham fabric circles over the lids with butcher's string and color code them according to contents. Red for raspberry jam, purple for elderberry, blue for blueberry, green for cattail blueberry jelly, yellow for dandelion, pink for wild apple choke cherry. You get the idea. I think the covers look silly. People seem to like them. And if I'm going to get by in an area as economically depressed as the Upper Peninsula, I have to give people what they want. It's not rocket science. There are a lot of wild foods I could use, and a lot of different ways to fix them. But for now, I'm sticking with jams and jellies. Every business needs a focus. My trademark is the cattail line drawing I put on every label. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who mixes ground cattail root with blueberries to make jelly. I don't add much, just enough to justify including cattail in the name. When I was growing up, young cattail spikes were my favorite vegetable. They still are.